Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian London. He is our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, also writes the Gold Newsletter. Brian, let's have a quick little recap of the market action post-Fed statement. Now, the Fed statement, the written statement, really was unchanged for the most part from the prior couple statements. And Jerome Powell's comments really fell in line with what he's been telling everybody for the last probably 6 months now. Overall, the Fed, look, they are remaining dovish. They're remaining accommodative, but they haven't made any changes to their actual policy. And I think that is still what these markets are looking for. On the back of the statement and the press conference, we did see gold pop higher and we saw a lot of volatility around the markets and around interest rates. But the follow through today is really showing that we're going pretty much back to where a lot of these markets were trading and interest rates are continuing to run higher. What's your takeaway, Brian, from those market moves post-Fed?
Yeah, it's. I think my reaction, quite simply, is I think we're living in the twilight zone. It was really strange yesterday, very strange, in that the Fed came out and raised their forecast for economic growth to 6.5% for 2021, as opposed to only 4.2% previously. They predicted higher inflation for this year, 2.4% versus their 1.8% previously. So really, they laid out a perfect case for reducing their accommodation, you know, perhaps even beginning to taper QE and normalize interest rates. And then they turned around and stressed that they see no reason still to take their foot off the gas pedal to any degree, and that they assured the markets are not even going to look at any rate hikes until 2024. So it was really, really surreal and bizarre. And even more bizarre was the fact that after the policy statement came out, and even during Powell's press conference, when usually some of that is walked back, et cetera, the 10-year yield, the Treasury 10-year yield, actually fell. While, you know, the Fed was really pretty apparently showing that they were going to totally ignore interest rates, that they were not going to become any less accommodative at all. So it's amazing. Something was up because the bond market just accepted with complete credulity what Powell was saying. And I think that they're, frankly, I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but I think there was some intervention to get rates down in that immediate reaction, because overnight, whatever was going on, the bond market supposedly changed its mind and rates spiked to 1.75%. And as a result, we saw risk assets being NASDAQ and gold being considered, I guess, a risk asset to some degree, or just trading in sympathy, you know, and contracyclically to 10-year treasury. Gold fell. So we saw the bond vigilantes come back in force overnight. I think there was something strange going on yesterday. There was no reason for Treasury yields to actually fall, given what the Fed said, yet they did. So we're going through that period still where we're going to have to see an end to this this spurt higher in Treasury yields where bonds are getting oversold. And then I think gold will react. Will react positively. Next month, we're going to see some really stunning, I think, inflation comparisons, because year over year inflation comparisons. And, you know, the question is, as we discussed before we went on air, you know, how much the market has priced that in. I don't think it's been priced in gold. It perhaps has been priced in the bond market to some degree.
Okay. And those year-over-year comparisons, they are going to be extreme, because just look at where we all were last year with everything shut down. So I think those data numbers, while they will be high, who knows if they actually surprise the markets, because it was such a, well, a different world even just last year. Brian, when it comes to the action in the bond market, then fine, we saw some volatility yesterday and some weird trading around Powell's comments, but fact of the matter is the trend still remains higher for yields. And we're at a little over 1.7% on the 10-year. You look back over history, that is still a relatively low rate, but it's more about the degree at which the yields have risen. The Fed, again, doesn't seem too worried about that, though. So what is it going to take to slow down this sell-off in bonds? The bond vigilantes seem to have control right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to take massive Fed purchases of treasuries to do that, and demonstrating to the markets that it has a commitment to do that. Because as much as they talk about the dirty little secret that the Fed is keeping right now is that they can't allow rates to rise. The debt has risen so much. And let's face it, there is absolutely no one with any power or not enough people with enough influence arguing in Washington against building debts up ever higher. And there's so much debt out there now that we can't afford higher interest rates for two reasons. One, it would crater the federal budget just on the debt service costs if the Fed funds rate got anywhere over 2%, for instance. And number two, rising rates would collapse the whole house of cards that the Fed has built really since its 2008 intervention, that being all of the financial markets, stocks, bonds, real estate. They've all been lifted by unprecedented central bank accommodation. And it is really the de facto proxy for the U.S. economy at this point. And the Fed cannot allow that house of cards to come down. And it's going to be busily shoring up the foundation. And that foundation is lower interest rates and negative real rates for essentially forever.
Yeah, that's the environment that we seem to be in. But again, well, it just goes to show that rates can move higher and the system can sustain it for at least a short period of time. We'll see how long that all lasts. When it comes to looking at some of these metal stocks then, Brian, look, I think we can make the argument that there is some value in, I think, some of these higher quality names because everything is sold off together. Even look at the majors. They have sold off hard, but they're even starting to bounce back just this month. Where do you see value in metal stocks? I know you focus a lot on the juniors, but where do you think, or where are you focusing some of your portfolio?
Yeah, I think there's tremendous value in the majors. They're just minting money right now, and the market has yet to recognize that. I don't really follow the majors, you know, so I don't want to mention specific names. I don't follow them closely enough to really be able to speak to that. But in general, the majors are absolutely making bank right now, and at some point the market will have to recognize that because it is really one of the few, if only, growth industries out there in this market environment. So I do like the majors. We do focus on some specific expiration plays in Gold Newsletter, and you know, some of those are working well. We're starting to see, you know, a bottoming in the gold price. We're up a bit over the last week or two, and it seems like we may have put in that bottom. I think that the juniors are primed to respond to any sign of consistency in the gold uptrend. So they're primed to come out. Some of these juniors have been holding on to news, waiting for a better market environment, and they frankly can't hold on to it any longer. So we're starting to see some news come out from a few plays. And you know, as we speak, some of the gold stock indices are actually up, even though gold is down today in response to the rise in 10-year yield. So I think the market is just waiting and anticipating and even getting ahead of the next big gold uptrend.
All right. Well, Brian, we're going to wrap it up here. Hopefully that gold uptrend starts sooner rather than later, because this downtrend is getting a little long in the tooth, and quite frankly, people are not paying attention to the sector. And you're right, no one cares about what the majors are earning right now because, well, they're distracted by other sectors. But who knows, hopefully this money that is starting to move into the majors is showing that some of these generalists are starting to rotate back into the sector. Brian, it's great chatting with you. I will chat with you in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too, Corey. Great to talk with you.